Psalm 23 for our opening praise. The 23rd Psalm found on the page 20. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. Psalm number 23, let's rise to sing the psalm of praise. Psalm to a different tune. I think it's the first time I've ever sang that, so it took me to the last verse to get it. But I was thinking about that this morning. Is there any other tune that we could sing the psalm to? And that was an answer to prayer, so let me thank our sister for playing. We're going to unite in prayer. Let's seek the Lord together. Good to see you in God's house. Nice to have visitors in with us. We trust that you have made to be feel welcome, and we know that our folk will make you welcome after the meeting this morning. We're glad to have you here, but we're desiring the Lord to be here and for God to be in the midst today. Let's seek the Lord to that end. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we thank thee and bless thee that we can say with the psalmist by faith that the Lord is my shepherd. We thank thee for the tender compassion and pity of our God and Saviour. We thank thee, O God, for his condescension, stepping into this world and taking upon him the form of a servant. We thank thee that he was made in the likeness of man. And yet we thank thee and praise thee today that Christ has lived and he has died and has opened heaven for us because of that great sacrifice. We rejoice that we believe in no other sacrifice but in Christ once and for all sacrifice for sins. We rejoice that we have a saving interest in the Saviour's atoning blood. And today we draw nigh on the grounds of redemption. We stand, dear God, on the ground of victory. We thank thee that Christ has died and I have died in him. We rejoice that Christ has drank damnation dry. And we praise thee that he's met all of the precepts of the law. And he has met all of the penalty of the law. And has come out the victorious, all-conquering God that he is. We bless thee today that this God is our God. He will be our guide, even unto death. We thank thee that thou art our Saviour, our Redeemer. We praise thee that thou hast entered into covenant relationship with thine elect people and bringing a people unto thyself and covenanting that thou would preserve them until the very end. And we praise thee that thou hast loved us with an everlasting love today. We rejoice that we bask in that. And we thank thee, O God, that we can say with the hymn writer, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine." Come, dear God, and we render our hearts gratitude to thee. We look over a week that has passed and all the way that the Lord has led us, providing for us, strengthening us, dear God, in our faith, strengthening us, dear God, in our frames. And we praise thee today that we are in thy house, that thou hast given us soundness of body and mind, in which we're able to congregate together in this preaching house, whereby we can sit under the word of God. And Lord, we can hear thy voice. This is our desire. The voice of God would be heard today, that his voice would be heard above the voice of a mere preacher. Thou wilt draw us so very near today that many, dear God, would make sure of their soul's salvation. We think of those that are among us today that know not Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. We pray that this day might be the day of their salvation. Like it was said of Zacchaeus, "This day is salvation come to thy house." We pray that that would be the case, and that many would enter in through Christ the open door. We ask of thee for our nation, full of sin and wickedness, full of debauchery, full of, O God, all immorality, full of all the sins of even Sodom and Gomorrah. We mourn over it, dear God, and we pray that thou wilt come again with blessing and with revival power. We pray that thou wilt start judgment in the very house of God. Thou wilt come, dear God, and search us out. Search this preacher out. Lord, we don't want to come here and offer thee but lip service, and our hearts being far from God. We ask of thee that thou wilt draw our hearts closer to the Saviour today. And thou wilt come and ravish our souls with views of our great God and Saviour. We pray for our nation. Come again. O blessed Spirit of God, work in power in our community. Cause men and women to tremble under their sin. And may there be an entering into God's salvation. Come, Heavenly Father, today and pour thy blessing upon the Church of Jesus Christ, we ask of thee. We pray for our missionary endeavors across the globe. We pray especially for our brother, Mr. Gardner. This month, we ask of thee that you'll bless him, his dear wife and children. We're praying, Father, for future advancement in the work. Wisdom to be given, O God. Guide, we pray, raise up men that are able to hold office of eldership and committee men within that congregation, we pray. And give, O God, advancement, and let the work of God in Perth prosper to the glory of God the Father. Let our prayers be heard for Christ's sake, we pray. And build thy church there in that great nation, we ask of thee. And may those of every tribe and kindred and tongue, oh, rejoice in the salvation that Christ has given unto them. We pray, O God, even for the natives of that nation. We pray for the Aborigines, Lord. We pray that Thou will come and by Thy Spirit break into their hearts and show them their need of Christ. We realize that every man has a soul, and we pray that Thou wilt work even there, we pray. Come, bless our children, our young people. Keep them safe at school. Keep them in good company, we pray. Keep Thy good hand upon the lambs of the flock, we pray. And lead them gently on. And for those that would think of going astray, we pray that Thou wilt build thorn hedges along the road of life that will hedge them in and direct them into the way in which they should go. And preserve them and spare them from the scars that sin brings to the life. We think of those who mourn today, those who continue to mourn, those who find it difficult, or even to enter into the house of God because of many memories. We pray in the Savior's precious name that Thou wilt comfort them today. And even their presence among us today might be an encouragement to them, and that the Lord would speak very clearly to their hearts today. So come, be with us, grant us leading, the leading of the Spirit of God, as we wait on before Thee and as we worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. 268, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come on to me and rest. 268, on the page 284, we'll rise to sing this hymn, please, of Horatius Bonner.
Amen.
We'll make some announcements at this time. Let me again welcome you in the Saviour's precious and glorious name. Nice to have you in the house of the Lord today. Nice to have some visitors in with us down away from the Money Slane direction. We know that they've been up for the weekend. Nice to have you folks with us today. We trust that the Lord will bless us as we meet around God's precious word. 6:30 this evening is the time of prayer, and then at 7 p.m. the gospel meeting, and we'll be here in the will of God to preach the message that God has laid upon our hearts for this evening. Wednesday night, 8 p.m. will be the prayer meeting. We'll continue our study in the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer of Matthew chapter 6. Let me encourage you to be there. We're encouraged by your presence week after week. Continue that up. Encouraged to hear people pray, and you come along with that intention. This week I'm going to pray, and the Lord will help you and give you the grace to open your mouth, and you'll go home rejoicing, praising that you've got the victory over the devil. Friday night, 7 p.m, the children's meeting, 8 p.m, the youth fellowship, and both of those meetings will be conducted by our brother, Mr. Luke Barker. He's originally from Essex in England. He completed his time of study just at the same time as myself at the Whitfield College of the Bible. He married a Northern Ireland girl and is living over here. And our brother Luke, he's already been here, I believe. I think he spoke on the Christian armour to the young people before. And Luke's coming to take both the children's meeting and the youth fellowship meeting. For those who are not involved in any of those meetings, the ordination and installation service to the Christian ministry for Mr. Ryan McKee will take place over there in the Macrofell congregation at 8 p.m. on Friday night, and all are welcome to attend. Reverend Lucas and Reverend Greer will be the preachers that evening, and we'll be playing a small role in that meeting. We've been asked by our brother, Mr. McKee, to do that, and we'll be playing a very small role in that meeting on Friday night. Pray for that meeting, that the Lord would help and lead and guide, and that His presence will be known in that event over in Macrofelt. Lord's Day, next Lord's Day, 10:30, Sabbath School and the Bible class, 12 noon, family worship, 3:30, the gospel open air on the main street, 7 p.m, the gospel service, each service preceded by the half hour of prayer, and next Lord's Day, the money for fame is required and is due, and you can give that to our sister, Mrs. Kerr. Some extra announcements. Let me thank all those ladies who were able to help us on Friday night to provide food for the Missionary Council meeting. We had about 80 people, representatives here on that evening, and we enjoyed hosting that meeting for the Missionary Council. The last time they were here was 18 years ago, so they were long due a visit to us 18 years ago, and we were delighted to have them. So thanks to all the ladies who were able to provide food, and those ladies that were able to help us in the catering of that food. Let me also thank our brother and sister Rodney and Diane. They do a sterling work in keeping the house of God clean, and they had to work late into the night to clear up after that meeting, and we deeply appreciate that, and we just want to publicly thank our brother Rodney and our sister Diane for doing that. Thanks also to those who provided books and money for that book appeal, and that project is still ongoing. There are cards in the hallway. You can take them with you. The little slip at the bottom, that's perforated. You cut it off. You put it on to whether it's a bag with books or a box with books. And you can bring them along here, and then we'll eventually get them down to someone in the mission board. We'll take them to presbytery with us, and we'll be able to get. So you can take that, cut it off. Anytime that you see some maybe spare Bibles, some good Christian literature, you can bring them along, give them to ourselves, and we'll be able to get that down. Let me thank also those who provided money. We received some gifts to help in the shipping of that, the books out, and we have passed that on to the relevant treasurer, and we trust that the Lord will bless you even for the giving of that money. There's also a slip in the hallway, outlining just in the table, just outlining some dates for your diary. They highlight some special events that are in the church's calendar. Saturday the 5th, the 12th of April, as we know, is the Sunday school examination. Then on Monday the 7th of April at 7 p.m, we're going to do an invitation drop. And the reason why we're going to do that is for a special testimony that we're going to have in the church, and also the Easter rally that's on the 16th. That testimony is on the 13th of April. Our sister, Mrs. Jeannie Graham, is going to come. Jeannie was a woman in the past who who was really an alcoholic, and she had problems with drink, and also her son then got involved later on in life, got involved in drug taking. And the Lord has worked especially in a marvelous way in that home, and her sister Jeannie is going to come and take that meeting nearly in its entirety. We'll wrap it up at the end, but we're going to give our sister enough time. That's Sunday the 13th of April, 7 p.m, the testimony of Mrs. Jeannie Graham. And so we're going to hand out leaflets for that, and also for the Easter rally on Wednesday the 16th of April. And our moderator, Mr. John Greer, will be here. Reverend Greer will be here to take that meeting, and the Calvary Trio from Acrofelt will be bringing items and song in that night. They also, some other dates, Monday the 26th of May at 7:30. It's normal that the church, just before Children's Day, I'm told that it has a good clean-up on the outside. And so the outside clean-up of the church is going to happen on Monday the 26th of May. Then Sunday the 1st of June, 12 noon, 7:30, Children's Day. Friday the 20th of June, 7 p.m, I think is the time, but that could be, maybe, I wasn't too sure, the church barbecue. And we'll trust this year that it'll not have to be shifted as it was. I was told last year it had to be shifted because of the rain, but I think they shifted even to a wetter night last year. So we'll pray that on the 20th of June, we're nearly in the middle of the summer there, that we'll be able to get a good night. That's Friday the 20th of June, the church barbecue. And then from Monday the 18th to Friday the 22nd of August, 7 p.m. each night, will be the Children's Bible Week, and Reverend McKee, he'll be Reverend McKee at that stage. Mr. McKee will be over to take that meeting. That little slip is in the hallway. It just means that, well, you can't say that you didn't know, and he only let us know the week before. We want to let people know in good time about these different things that are coming up in the church family. On the Lord's Day, the 6th of April, that's not next Lord's Day, but the following Lord's Day, a special retiring offering will be taken up on both services for Mr. Stephen Miller. We're a little late for this, but Stephen still has fees to pay, some travelling expenses, and we know that there are people who do support Stephen on an ongoing basis, but this is an opportunity for the whole church family to encourage him in this way, and so there'll be plates at the doorway. We'll not make the announcement next week because Stephen will be among us and he doesn't know of this. And so we'll not announce it next week, but you know that on the 6th of April that special offering will be taken up. For those who pay tax, that's one of the unavoidableness of life and living in this world. Those who pay tax, there is a scheme by which we can claim some of your money back again, the gift aid declaration. If you do give in to the work of God in any way, well, then we're able to claim some money back. I think it's 25p to every pound that you give. They are in the hallway, those forms. Take them and give them to the treasurer, please, and we'll be able to then get some more money for the house of God, and let's be able to use the work of God and use what we have to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for us this Saturday. We've been asked to speak to the young people at the training weekend, the Youth Council training weekend in Portadown, in preparation for the outreach trip to the Commonwealth Games. And so we're away on Saturday, God willing, down to Portadown to speak to them also. There is a gospel mission. We don't announce too many outside, but I know that Mr. David Junkin has been here. He's helped out in the work of God. There's a gospel mission. It starts next Lord's Day, the 30th of March, to Sunday, the 13th of April. It's up there in Kilcronahan at the Mission Hall. There is a leaflet just here. If you want to know where it is, I'll leave it out in the hallway table. Also, the feature, the little devotional book that we give out for free, it's on the stand as you go out. Please take one. Let's not leave them about the church. Let every family take one and use it, and I trust that it'll be an encouragement to you even as you read day by day from God's precious word and help you in that. Let me also thank the Thompson family for having the young people over on Friday night. We deeply appreciate that. Some of you would know our brother, Mr. Sammy Bowell, passed away last evening round about 9 o'clock, and we've been asked by the family just to inform the congregation that the funeral service is at the home on Tuesday at 1 p.m. and then after that service it will go to Risharkin Presbyterian Churchyard for the burial. I'm sure the family would appreciate your prayers at this time, even of loss. I think that's all of the announcements. We'll turn in our hymn books to our offering hymn 691. 691, Jesus is our shepherd, his the voice we hear folded in his bosom. What have we to fear? 691, we'll remain seated while the offering and tithe is brought in for God's work. We want to do a short reading, first of all, in John's Gospel, chapter 7. John's Gospel, chapter 7. I trust that those that intimated that they wanted to receive our sermon notes have been receiving our sermon notes. I've only got a few emails to say that they are receiving, so I'm just taking it as right that everyone has been receiving the sermon notes. And we trust that they have been used to be a blessing. I meant to say that some time ago. We trust that you're using them even to look over what we have preached on the Lord's Day. John chapter 7, the verse 37, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of him here, it says, "In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And then in Psalm chapter 23, We'll turn to the psalm again. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee. We come to Thee in the name of Thy Son. Rejoice for the Word of God that is opened to us today. We praise Thee for a more sure word of prophecy. We thank Thee for the written word that points us to Christ, the living word. And we pray that we might see Him today, that we might behold His glory, His majesty, His greatness, His grandeur. We pray that we might get a view of our great shepherd in this meeting today. We pray that Thou wilt minister to every waiting heart, and Thou wilt come, draw near to this preacher, and fill him with the Holy Spirit and with power. We'll be careful to ascribe all praise and glory to the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Contained in the words, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, we have the thought of the rest that Christ, our great shepherd, provides for His sheep. However, in the words that He leadeth me beside still waters, we have the thought of refreshment, the refreshment that Christ the shepherd provides for His sheep. Another way to look at those two statements that stand side by side in verse 2, whereas in the words, He leadeth me beside, or He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, we have the image of Christ the shepherd feeding His sheep. In the words, He the still waters, we have the thought of Christ leading His sheep. For any animal to survive, they need two things: constant food and clean water. And on those two accounts, the shepherd abundantly provides for His sheep in Psalm 23. His sheep are fed upon the tender grasses of the green pastures, and they slake their thirst with the still waters by which He leads them to. In other words, all that the sheep needs for their survival, for their development and their health is provided by the shepherd. Spiritualizing it, all that we need as Christ's sheep for our survival in this hostile, Christ who allays the believer's spiritual appetite. It is Christ who dispels our anxieties. It is Christ who satisfies our nature and causes us to lie down in green pastures and causes us to be led beside the still waters. As John Ross Macduff, the 19th century Scottish preacher, remarked, "There is no scant supply, but on the contrary, an ample variety to suit the circumstances of each member of the flock. And what diversity there is in God's spiritual provision for His people. Grace for all times, and grace every time." It is that little phrase, "He leadeth me beside the still waters," that we want to focus our attention on today and consider ours as He pours His sheep. Notice firstly with me the position of the sheep. The shepherd goes before the sheep. Logically, if driveth me, being the shepherd, being the flock, however the shepherd is said to be leading, and very logical, leaders lead from the front. That's what a leader is. Someone who leads from the front. Now this might seem to be a very strange concept to us, the Westerner, and we must remember that the Bible is written in the context of the Eastern lands and not of us here in the West. And so there are times that we must put ourselves into the Eastern mindset whenever we come to the Word of God, because of the shepherd going before his sheep is not the natural position of the Western shepherd. Instead of driving the sheep from behind, as the Western farmer would do, the Eastern shepherd would go before the sheep, and the sheep would instinctively follow the shepherd. Now, the Savior would allude to this positioning of the shepherd in relation to the sheep in John chapter 10. We can turn there to John chapter 10 and the verse number 4. Christ using here the imagery of the shepherd and the sheep to explain how he is the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for his sheep. And in the verse number 4 we read these words. John 10 verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, and then underline the words, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. We follow him as the shepherd goes on before. Let me make some personal application. I can assure you that if you're following the shepherd today, that instead of following him into some place of worldly entertainment, instead of following into some cinema, some theater, some place of worldly entertainment, you will follow him. If you're following after your great shepherd, you'll follow him into the gospel evening service. You'll follow him to the place of prayer. You'll follow him into the closet. If you're following the shepherd today, you'll follow him in holiness, in integrity, in honesty, in love, in brotherly kindness, in patience, in humility, and in self-denial. If we're following the shepherd, which we should be, we will follow him in such a manner. Maybe you're here today. It could be said of you, as it was said of Peter, that you're following afar off today. Maybe there was a time that you walked closely with the Savior. Maybe there was that time whenever there was very little distance between you and the Master, but now something has come, some tragedy in life, some experience, some individual has caused you to move away from the Savior, and today you're following afar off. Well, if that be so, let me encourage you to bridge that distance today by repenting of your sin and coming again to the Savior, following the Savior close by. Or maybe today it would be said of you that you haven't even started following after the shepherd. There's a price that you must pay if you're going to follow the Savior, if you're going to follow after our great shepherd, the Savior himself said in Luke 9 verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There is a cross that we must bear. There is a price that we must pay if we're going to follow after our great shepherd. Now, a reasonable question to ask at this point is, why does the Eastern Shepherd go before his sheep? Well, the reasons why the shepherd does that are twofold. He first of all goes before his sheep to seek out the best pasture lands and watering places for the flock. It is job, the employment of the shepherd to provide for his sheep, and so he must go on just that little bit before in order to provide for his sheep. But he also goes before to defend his sheep from danger and from predators. Lord Jesus Christ, who is the believer's shepherd, goes before us in order that he would open up the way ahead. He brings us into those places that he has prepared for us. And as our shepherd king, he goes before us into every conflict of life. He takes, as it were, the brunt of the attack. He treads down all of our enemies. He vanquishes all of our foes. And he brings each one into submission under his very feet. Our shepherd king goes before. So what have we to fear? Maybe today you're in the midst of some personal battle, some family battle, some employment battle, and the enemy is attacking you with the fiery darts of doubt, the arrows of betrayal, the sword of inflamed passions and lusts, the axe of persecution. Well, there's a divine truth here that will encourage every soul that's in the midst of the battle of life, that your God goes before. He goes before into every battle as our great shepherd. Deuteronomy 31 and the verse 8 we read these words, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Maybe this week something holds you. Something causes fear, as it were, to grip your soul, and you don't know how you're going to face it. Well, let me assure you, your shepherd, if you know Christ as your Savior, your shepherd will go before. And he'll clear the way. And he'll tread down all of your enemies, subduing them all under his feet. The verb that we find here in this verse, leadeth, he leadeth me. It suggests to me that this flock is pressing forward. It's not standing still. It's not, as it were, beating a retreat. No, it seems to be that this pressing forward. And that forward nature of that leading, it brings to our minds the very thought that our shepherd is always advancing. Christ is always advancing. It was that great missionary, Hudson Taylor, missionary to China, who said, God's work was never intended to be stationary, but always advancing. God is always advancing, and we in his church should be advancing with him. Unfortunately, many of Christ's sheep, they're living off some old tough knoll of grass that they've been chewing on for the last 20 years. Something that happened 20 years. They've been living off some past experience. But brother, sister, it's time to advance. It's time to take more ground from the enemy. It's time to advance into new territory with God, because there's always more of God. Always more. We need to pray that God would give us a greater capacity for God, a greater hungering after God. There's always more of God, and so, brother and sister, it's time to move on. We thank God for God's working in your life in the past, the experiences that you've had, the people that you've led to the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's always more. It's time to press on. Oh, may God help us to keep on going on. We must be on our guard against spiritual stagnation in our Christians' life, in our lives. Let's advance this year. Like the words of the hymn writer, bend forward still, 'tis Jehovah's will. Though billows dash and spray with a conquering tread, we'll push ahead, he'll roll the sea away. Oh, there's more souls to be saved, more backsliders to be restored, more of God's people to separate themselves from the apostasy of the land and join with a faithful band of God's people. There's always more. Oh, may we be led by our shepherd. He leadeth. He leadeth. Oh, that we would keep pace with our great shepherd. That is the position of the shepherd. He is before us. He is before us. But there's something else that I want you to see from our text, and it's this. It is the policy of the shepherd. The policy of the shepherd. The policy of the shepherd, quite simply, is to lead his sheep. He does not drive us. The law drives us. The law drives us. But our shepherd, by his love and his grace, he leads us. And he leads us and he sets the pace that is best suited for us. Get that? Our shepherd sets the pace that is best suited for us. He advances some people much more quicker and much more quickly than others, and yet he's always advancing us. He's always bringing us forward. I believe that is hinted at in regard to Jacob and what he says in Genesis chapter 32. We spoke about this in our Genesis chapter 33. He's come and Jacob is meeting his own son, or his own brother Esau. Genesis chapter 33, he's meeting his brother. Verse number 12, Esau says here, And he said, let us take our journey and let us go, and I will go before thee. And then it says in Jacob, this is speaking of Jacob, and Jacob, he said unto him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and the herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them in one day, all the flock will die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according to as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children are able to endure until I come unto my Lord on to Seir. Here we see Jacob the shepherd. He understands that there are young within the flock. He understands that the children cannot go at the same pace as the adults within this band of people. And so Jacob, who is sensitive to the needs of his band, he says, I'm going to lead on softly. I'll take them at a pace that is best suited for them, lest they faint and fall out by the way. And so our great shepherd, he guides and he leads and he brings us along, but he's always bringing us forward. And there are some young believers and they flourish so quickly and they become so mature in their Christian walk. And then there are others and they're saved for years and there's such immaturity, but yet God is still working and God is still maturing. And we must, in the Church of Jesus Christ, not think that everyone is brought on the same pace. God advances us step by step because the Christian life is a walk with God personally. But we must not resist him bringing us on, or we'll just stay in a place of stagnation. Now we might ask ourselves this question. It arises here in regard to God's leading. God leadeth. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We ask ourselves this question. How does God lead us today? How does God lead his church, his people today? Well, in the Old Testament, God had various means by which he led the people. He would lead Israel by a pillar of cloud and fire, whilst at other times he gave direction in dreams and visions, sending angelic messengers. These were all means by which God would lead his children. Now there are those today, and they would preach that God still leads his children by such means, by visions, by dreams, by prophetic utterances. And yet we believe from the reading of Scripture that God has only but one way in which he leads his children, and that is by the Word of God. And we make our appeal to Hebrews chapter 1 in relation to this. For in Hebrews chapter 1 and the verse number 1 we read these words, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now that verse, Hebrews 1 verse 1, from the original Greek text can be literally read in this manner. In many parts and in much turning, God spake of old to the fathers in the prophets. Not by the prophets, but in the prophets. And what is being taught here by, we believe, Paul, what is being taught here is the progressive nature of the special revelation that God gave in Old Testament times, alongside the various modes by which God therefore instructed the people and employed in leading his saints by various manners. In various manners, by various ways, he spoke to the prophets. But notice what verse 2 goes on to say. It says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Paul is teaching here that there is a finality to the revelation of God's word. The giving of Scripture did not end in the Old Testament economy. There was more to come by the public ministry of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet this special revelation given by Christ has now come to a close. The finality of that is shown in that little word in verse number 2, spoken. Hath in these last days spoken. Now that word is in the aorist tense. Simply it means It describes an action that has been completed in the past. An action that has been completed in the past. It's not an ongoing action. No, this is something that has happened in the past and is not to be repeated again. And this is what this word means. God hath spoken. And that has stopped by His Son. And whenever the Son, as it were, closed the canon of Scripture is now shut. The Son's word is the final word. What we have in our New Testament is all that's coming. There is enough here for life and godliness within the covers within God's word. There is no biblical warrant, therefore, for continual revelation by dreams and by visions by those proposed in the charismatic and in the Pentecostal movements. The canon of Scripture is closed. All that we need that pertains to life and godliness is within the covers of this book. Therefore, whenever we make decisions in life, and as God would therefore lead us, we are not to give way to the fanciful whim of some prophetic utterance from a modern day prophet. But rather we must make and base all of life's decisions on the more sure word of prophecy that Peter speaks of here in 2 Peter 1 and the verse number 9. Taking the word of God as our guide, we will never err. We will never err. We must allow our shepherd to lead us. You must allow this sure shepherd to lead you. And he'll lead you by his word. Spread therefore the matter before God in prayer. Seek His guidance from His word. Remain sensitive to the Spirit of God and submit then to the providential directing of life's affairs by your sovereign God. And He will guide you and He will lead you. This is how God leads His sheep today, by the word of God. There is a third thing that we want to consider from the words, He leadeth me beside the still waters. We have considered the position of the shepherd. And now we want to consider the provision of the shepherd. A sheep is said to drink between 2 and 18 litres of water every day. Between 2 and 18 litres of water every day. The shepherd in Psalm 23 adequately provides for his sheep in this area. We view him leading the flock beside the still waters. Afraid of drowning in running water, sheep tend to drink from still waters. So Richard Baker, commenting on the shepherd's provision of still waters, he remarked, "He leads them beside the still waters, not waters that roar and make a noise enough to fright the fearful sheep, but waters still and quiet, that though they drink but little, they may drink that little without fear." We must not get into our minds that the waters, these still waters, are stagnant, sterile waters. We must not think in that way. No, these waters, they're deep waters. They're pure waters. They're living waters. They're ever flowing waters. It's good to know that whenever the world's streams are at their emptiest, that the streams of grace are at their deepest and they're at their fullest. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 59 in the verse 11, it says, "The Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones, and you shall be like the watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." We asked ourselves this question: what do these still waters represent? He leadeth me beside the still waters. Spiritually, what do they represent? Well, often in Scripture, the emblem of water as a purifying and as a refreshing element, it oft times speaks to us of the Word of God. In Ephesians 5, verse 26, we read that He might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of water by the Word. As a shepherd, God brings us into the still waters of His Word. Think it often as a single promise from this cool stream. Often refresh and revive the downcast and disheartened believer. Just a promise as they take up this word, as it were, they stoop down to drink from the Word of God. That promise, it becomes alive, becomes part of the very fibre and fabric of that believer's soul, and their soul is revived. They've been brought out of the valley of despair through the Word of the living God. Did you allow the Lord to lead you today to those still waters? Before congregating with others today, did you close yourself away with the Lord? Did you take His Word down, and did you allow Him to lead you beside the still waters of His Word? In relation to your consumption of the water of God's Word, can I ask you, are you dehydrated? Many of God's people are dehydrated. Do you know what happens whenever you're dehydrated? You get a sore head. You start to become crabbed. Hard to work with. That's what happens whenever you become dehydrated. And how many of God's people are crabbed and hard to work with? It's because you're dehydrated. You're not in the Word of God. Oh, you see, one of the benefits of taking water, my mother is a great believer in drinking water. Take water, take water. She's a great believer. And one of the reasons why we should take water is that water cleanses us of the toxins that build up within the body. It's a means by which the toxins that are built up because of maybe stress, because of the food that we eat, it's a means by which our toxins are expelled out of the body. And to spiritualize it, whenever we come to the Word of God, the water of God's Word, it reveals to us certain toxins that are in our lives that are detrimental to our spiritual health. I think of the toxins of bitterness and envy and gossip and malice and jealousy and hatred. These are toxins within our bodies. But as we come to read the Word of God, and then as we read and heed the Word of God, those harmful spiritual toxins are cleansed from our minds and our hearts, promoting spiritual health within the soul. So let us therefore find ourselves within the Word of God. The words, the water speaks to me of the Word of God, but the water also speaks to me very quickly of the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. That's why we read John chapter 7. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come on to me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit." These living waters. There is the connection between the water of the physical water, and that of the Spirit of God. It is, think of it. What does water do? It refreshes, it revives, it renews. Is that not the operation of the Spirit of God within our soul? There is that refreshing, that reviving, that renewing within the soul. You see, the godly saints on the Isle of Lewis, they got that truth into their very soul. They looked out into the spiritual landscape of that little island there in the 1940s, and they saw nothing but barrenness, spiritually speaking. The young people, all they wanted to go to were the dances and to the movies. And so they wrote a letter calling upon the members of the congregations on that little island to seek the Almighty God, because they knew that they were under divine pleasure. And then God started to work in such a way that He impinned upon their very soul just one promise. Isaiah 43:44:3. "For I will pour water on him that is thirsty, and floods upon a dry ground. And I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring." And they held Almighty God to the promise of God. And in a few months, the Spirit of God moved in such a way that the community became alive with God. The waters of God's blessing were poured out upon that land, and the spiritual landscape I tell you, the wilderness became a fruitful field. And the fruitful field became like the Garden of Eden itself. We read of that in Isaiah. Prayer was answered. The water of God's Spirit was poured out like a flood upon the dry ground. The whole community became alive of God. You see, folks, it's true. Only the thirsty avail themselves of water. When I finish this message today, I can guarantee you that I'm going to a tap to get some water because I am thirsty. But you'll probably go home. You'll make your way home. You'll not need to avail yourself because you're not thirsty. Only the thirsty avail themselves of water. The man or woman with the parched tongue and the dry throat will readily slake their thirst with water. But this is my question as we close this meeting. And as the clock has stopped again, 20 to 1, as it did on Friday night, but I've got a clock here. We'll soon be finished. Let me ask you this question. Are you thirsty for God? Are you thirsty for God? Are you thirsty for God's word? Or if the preacher goes over the allotted time, do you grumble and complain the whole way home? Say, I'll not be back for a few weeks. He goes on a wee bit longer than the previous minister. You see, there's coming and there has come a day, as it was said of Amos in Amos 8 verse 11, behold, the days come of the Lord that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor of thirst of water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. And we're in that day. We need the Lord to create spiritual thirst. We need the Lord to bring us to the place where he brought the psalmist in Psalm 42 verse 1 and 2, whenever in desperation he cried out, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, my God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Or like the psalmist in Psalm 63 verse 1 and 2, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Lord, make me thirsty. That's my cry. Make me thirsty. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But the filling comes after the emptying. Those who thirst after God, I believe, will be brought by His Spirit to be beside the still waters and be refreshed by the Good Shepherd. We have considered from the verse 2 the rest that the shepherd provides his sheep. And then today we have considered the refreshment that Christ provides for his sheep. In the will of God next week, from the verse number 3, we want to speak about the restoration that Christ provides for his sheep. He restoreth my soul. I trust that the Lord will bless his word and be a means of encouraging us in the things of God even today. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before thee. And we bless thee for the tender care of our great shepherd, the one who knows our needs and the one who provides them amply through his dear son, Jesus Christ. He is the living water. Christ, we're brought to Christ. We thank thee that he is the living water. Oh, that we would be satisfied in him. Let us be like Ezekiel. Waters to the ankles. Waters to the knees. Waters to the loins. Waters to swim in. Lord, let us be found at the river of God, because the river of God is full of water, the psalmist said. We thank thee that there's no drying brook from our God, but it's ever full. For those that are not saved, oh, that they would find their satisfaction in Christ. today that they would come and drink at the fountain of living waters and find in Christ soul refreshment. Be with us, O God, the rest of today. Let us keep thy day as was intended, to keep it holy, and bring us all back to the house of God this evening, lest Christ return and find us elsewhere. O God, we pray to thee, give us all that resolve to be found in thy house in the will of God. Answer prayer. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.